I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey everyone, it's Jill and Claire. Welcome back to Thanks for Coming In. Super honored that you guys are listening to me on week two. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. I hope. I'm just kind of doing it. I don't really know. Today's episode features my really good friend, Adam Chambers. You may know him from NCIS LA, SWAT, Disney in general. He does a lot of things on there. Just he's everywhere. He's doing a lot of things. It's a cool conversation. Here it is. Welcome, Adam Chambers. Woo!
Yay! So nice to hear you.
It's nice to hear you as well. We're doing this from our rooms.
Hear you, yes. And we were doing it. I thought we were going to do this video. So I had my whole room set up. I made flowers. I put pants on. I made sure everything was clean. I really put in some effort. And then I clicked on this thing. I was like, I don't think they're going to see my face. I think this is just going to be a scene thing. So now I can drink. I took my pants off and now I can drink.
Well, you need to take a picture so that we can see what it looks like.
I'll do that.
Oh my goodness.
It looks very nice right now. Yeah. How are you? How is everything?
I'm good. You know, I've been gardening a lot. I finished a garden in my backyard, like a full like 8x8 area that I like weeded out.
Wow.
Put the weed fabric down, went to nurseries and bought a bunch of plants and like, because it's the only thing open. I finished an entire garden in like 2 months, which is great because I've been wanting to do it. But now that it's done, I'm really bored and I don't know what to do with my life. And now I'm doing a podcast because I needed something else to do.
I feel that. I've become quite the green thumb myself, but it's not so much in the gardening side. I don't have a house, so I have like an apartment. But I have, I'm definitely like a flower guy. Like I've gotten really into making flowers. And another thing is I've gotten into, so like I'll go and I'll make a big arrangements and a lot of that. But then I go into, it gives me just this insane amount of therapy. And then I did succulents and I made, and I've been growing them, these little baby ones that I bought like months ago before the world ended. And then now my baby is eating food. My actual baby is eating like baby food. Yes. And so I take her little jars and I've replanted them into the baby jars.
Oh.
And then like tied, you know, made them look like, you know, cute with like string and stuff. It's really
that's impressive. Adorable. I like that. I like that a lot. By the way, cute. I was thinking about your daughter today because she's the cutest thing in the world.
Oh, thank
and
you.
I knew that I was gonna be speaking with you. And I think that you need to put her in competition to be the next Gerber baby. I'm just gonna say it right now.
So it's funny you said that. We did that this year. We were like, you know, people a bunch of people told us that, and so because I think she does look like a Gerber baby.
She does.
And so we put her in the thing and we realized that there wasn't a super solid chance for winning based on her name. Just the fact the girl that won last year, her name was Kyrie, and this girl and ours is named Kai. So I just felt like that alone wasn't going to do it.
They'd be like, so, wait, is that the same baby?
Yeah, they picked a different baby already. So
I but, know I know. Saw her. That's what brought it up because I was like, oh my gosh, this baby's adorable. And I was like, oh my gosh, wait, Kai needs to be this baby. Yeah. Okay, never mind. Yeah.
I'm trying to get her an agent or something. I don't know. I feel like I want to do it. I want to do it.
She's adorable.
Yeah. I don't know any like baby agents though. I don't know baby agents.
I have a friend. I'll hook you up. Yeah.
You used to do this as a child. You used to do this as a child.
I wasn't a baby, but yeah, I was like 7 when I got into it.
You know, you're a kid actor who did this as a kid and started doing professional things as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I met a guy recently who was a teacher and his kid is an actress. And she's like 13 or something. And he's like, she's actually really good and she's really into it. And he's like, she's just been doing it since she was very little. Like we just kind of started doing stuff with her as a baby and stuff. But now she's like really actually into it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, yeah, no, like her life is set up already. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah. Like, he's like, she has college paid for. And then she's got like $200,000 that she's sitting on whenever it's go time.
Holy
crud. And I was like, what the hell happened?
Like, she's just.
He's like, she's just hit some really good commercials and she did them at like 6 and 5 and 7, just these ages where like no one gives a shit. You know what I mean? Like, and next thing you know, she's got all this money when she's done, like whether she wants to stay an actress or not, like it's crazy.
Well, I mean, when I, cause the Coogan account is what happens when you're a child actor, you have a certain amount of your money gets put into an account that you can't touch. Your parents can't touch. Nobody can touch until you turn 18.
Right.
So I had a couple commercials like that when I was a kid. They were just dumb. Like I had a Domino's commercial that got made into like 13 spots. It was my first national and it like got
You don't
huge.
Know what any of that even means.
No, I just like, you know, I'm in my trailer and somebody brought me a milkshake and I was like, what is this magical land?
That Where is the best. That's what you know about is that you got paid in a milkshake.
I was like, I got a milkshake and a trailer. I want to do this for the rest of my life. But yeah, those things are awesome. I always say that pizza paid for my car because when I turned 18, I bought my car that I have now because I'm lame and still have the same car that I bought when I was 18. But I'm obsessed with it and that car has done me well. But pizza paid for my car. Truly.
That's really funny. That's really great. So, you know, and you know a lot of act. We know some same people too that are in the same kind of boat. Like,
yeah,
you turned 18 and all of a sudden it was like, boom, just this boatload of influx of money that they didn't necessarily know what to do with.
Yeah, I definitely didn't know what to do. I didn't have like a crap ton, but like didn't know what to do with it. I put it into making my web series back then and then, you know, bought my car and put some away and then also decided that Free People was my favorite place in the world and spent far too much money there. No. It's also bad because my mom, like, I love my mom and she definitely enables my shopping habit a little bit. So I remember this like one time we were at Free People and she was like, there was two dresses that I was looking at and she was like, just get both.
Get both.
And I was like, but then I'm spending like, you know, this much money.
Way too
and she
much.
Goes, yeah, but like YOLO. And I was like, true, mom, true. So there I bought
Yeah. That's so funny. That's exactly what my mom's been with us this whole quarantine time.
Oh, really?
She like the right when it got weird, I was like, mom, come on up. It's like, I don't know what the hell. And we could use the help, like, baby, like what we both of us are still trying to do things and stuff. So
right.
I was like, so mom's been up here the whole time. And she said, she was like, I definitely passed on the shopping gene to you because I have too many shoes. And she has that mentality. We'll go somewhere. And she's like, which wine should we get? Oh, fuck it, let's get both.
Yeah, like, that's it. That's 100% it. My mom and I are the exact same way. It's like you get the two of us together in a TJ Maxx and it's game over.
I think that's the thing my wife and my mom miss the most is
Like home goods.
You put that thing on Instagram the other day. You were like, home goods, I miss you so much.
I do. I miss home goods so much. That's literally going to be the first place I go to when it opens again. Yeah. Like half my house is home goods.
So my mom is very, my mom and my wife are both very talented, but my mom is like unreal. Like as far as her, her like making things ability. She's had like a bridal salon. So she's like, she's come along. She can make anything. She makes a lot of Sean and I's suits for our band.
She makes your suits.
She makes a lot of our suits. She makes like the most complicated ones too. So she's made like, she makes Kai like couture outfits, like unbelievable outfits.
So
like most
she's
of the stuff
the
I posted
designer
her,
behind all of these amazing photos I've seen of your baby.
She's the one that like makes her look amazing, like all the time. And so she's, but like fabric stores when this first thing happened, they weren't open.
Yeah.
They've only recently started to open to like pick up stuff. And so it's like different, especially for my mom who, so my mom has brought her whole, like, we have like a sweatshop in my apartment right now. Like she is literally like, has like a whole line going up, but she didn't know what to do. So she went to Target. She really wanted, she loves making things for cars. So she went to Target and she couldn't find any material. So she bought from Magnolia Farms. She bought a shower curtain and a placemat. She made her a romper out of a Magnolia Farms placemat.
No, she didn't.
It is the chicest, cutest, prettiest thing
oh
you've ever
gosh.
Seen.
You need to create an Instagram for your mom of like all the things that she turns into cute baby outfits.
I keep telling her that. I'm like, Mom, you're so
this
good.
Is
this
is a whole new area of Instagram that we could
it's
launch right now.
I know, it's unbelievable.
Okay, so let's get on topic here.
Sorry, we just had to catch up. We had to catch up.
We had to do the catch up phase of life because nobody can be social right now. Well, not social in person. Social over this program, which is cool. Yeah. So I met you when I was 19.
Still a teen. Still a teen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were a teen. You were definitely 19.
Because I turned 19 on set. That's right. We did a movie called The Kitchen together forever and a half ago. And then we did another movie called Pretty Broken. And then we did another movie called Hey. And then we did another one called To the Beat Back to School. And so we have a little bit of a pact going on how many films we can do together. But you do a crap ton of other stuff. Mm-hmm. You're like constantly doing stuff. So tell me a little bit about the show with Adam and Sean.
So the show with Adam and Sean, which was going to be the next thing that we were hopefully going to have you be part of at some point here. The show with Adam and Sean is my comedy band. I'm in like a musical comedy duo with my best friend, Sean. We've been a band for like six years. We've been best friends for probably 18 years. We've been playing music together for, you know, probably most of the time, but we really started hitting the ground running hard with the band probably 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago. And we have played thousands of shows. We've realized that now, which is crazy. And we have music videos and we play a lot of shows. So playing live is definitely our thing. So that's been weird. Cause we don't get to do that. We have started to figure out how to make our, you know, we're working on an album, right now. That's been
finally,
something that we finally should be doing. And so we were like, we should be making the album. You know, I think we really wanted to perfect the live act, and the live act has just gotten so good, I feel like, over these last handful of years.
It's so good. I like bust up laughing every time I see you guys. What is that one song about the girl with the tiny hand?
Yes, it's called Poseidon.
Yes,
and
that song
it's about going on a date with a girl with a little hand. There's so many histories with that song. It's one of our older songs. We have about 50 songs.
You have 50 songs? Jeez.
We really do. And it's funny about Poseidon, because Poseidon for so long was kind of like our big home run hit. And then you play long enough and the world adapts and humor changes. Mm-hmm. And that song really pushes some people's buttons these days.
It does. Oh my gosh. It makes me think of the Kristen Wiig character on Saturday Night Live. And it just kills me.
I totally agree. But there's just a lot of times where people are like, no, that one bothered me a lot. Especially now in the last couple of years, it's gotten a little more weird. But it's still a huge hit for the people that just have a nice, dirty sense of humor.
That song just is the best.
Yeah, thank you. Our whole thing, we try to make songs that relate to a lot of different people in a lot of situations. Kind of everything's off the table as far as like what is offensive or anything like that. We're not trying to offend anybody, but we are trying to have a good time. We're sort of like we're like a really good dirty band. And we're like a really good bar band. We've played all over the place. We've played all over the country too now, which is crazy.
That's crazy. I love you guys. If you guys are ever in town where they're playing, you should see them when all this stuff goes back to normal. If we ever go back to normal, hopefully we do.
We did a special last year, and I just started. We put together and we actually shot it with multi cameras and just did it ourselves, and we had a nice big packed house.
Oh my god! Really, you gotta release that.
We put clips up on YouTube, so there's a couple clips from that. So there's a couple different songs from that special up on YouTube, so you can watch it. We just kind of figured the best way was just kind of put them up in songs, especially with YouTube, just kind of in like these 3-4 minute bits. But you can see what the band's up, and it's great. And I it means the world to me, the band. So
I love it. Okay, so take me back. When did you decide that you wanted to be an actor? Like, what was it? What happened? Because there's so many different origin stories of actors. So what was yours?
Mine was very young. I started acting when I was about four or five. My mom was an actress in San Diego, and she was involved in a really big, church, Presbyterian church. And they just had like this big, big service they would do. And they had this group of actors that were part of the Sunday service that would always put on like a scene that was like related to whatever the pastor was talking about, some sort of contemporary thing. And then they'd also put on like plays throughout the year, like Alice in Wonderland or something like that. But anytime they needed like a kid actor, my mom threw me into the mix.
You were the sacrificial lamb of the children of the church.
Totally. So she'd throw me into the mix, and it was a big church, it was a service of like hundreds. So that just gets your blood going in that way that you become sort of addicted. And it really was kind of from there. It was at that point on, I started just doing community theater and started doing plays at school, and, was like the lead of the plays at school when I was in elementary school. And then just went to a performing arts junior high, and then a performing arts high school. And then I went to a performing arts college. And
you had the straight bug, man.
It has been my whole life. I started doing the math the other day, and it was something crazy, like 150 plays or something like that, that I've been involved in, 200 plays or something.
It weirds me out knowing that I've been, and for you too, we've both been actors longer than like we haven't. And that's crazy.
Oh my God, by like a significant amount.
Yeah, by a significant amount, our entire life has been acting, which is so crazy when you think about it.
It really is. And you start to see it in it starts to catch up. And now I've lived in LA now. This year was my year of like half my life. So, and I moved to LA obviously to be an actor. I moved to LA to go to acting school and everything like that. So this was the year that like when I turned 18, I moved to LA. And so this was that shift over. So it's kind of crazy to be like, oh my God, I've already been here longer than I've been where I'm from.
That happened to me a few years back because we moved here when I was 8. Uh-huh. So it's been almost 20 years, which is crazy that we've lived here.
That's exactly what it is. Almost 20 years.
It's bizarre. So you went to school in LA for performing arts, and then what? Like, what was the first big thing that you got?
I had a really cool experience. Actually, I got really lucky. I got, first paid gig was, so at the school that I was at there, I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, and they did like the company, which is like, it's a 2-year program. And then there's a 3-year program. And when that program is over, the 3rd year one, they do a showcase for like agents and managers and casting directors. And I'll never forget this. I was in my apartment. It was the day after the casting or day after the showcase. Mm-hmm. And I got a phone call from a casting director who was like, I saw you last night at that showcase. Would you like to come in today for an audition? I think you'd be right for it. It was for a commercial. And I was like, what the hell? Like, this is crazy. This is like day one out of this thing. And it was for Bluebell Ice Cream, which is like a Southern ice cream.
Oh my gosh. I love Bluebell Ice Cream.
And I had no idea. I'm not from there. I didn't have a clue. And so I was like, sure, sure, sure. So I went in. And I was so stupid. I read for the wrong part, And then he was like, no, just go outside, read through the rules. I was like, okay, cool. So I came back in, just thought totally I fucked it up. And then he, I got a call like the next day that they Taft Hartley me and they put me in SAG. I flew to Texas. Gosh. I know. I flew to Texas like 3 days later. I was in SAG and like I had just signed with an agent from the same showcase. So I was able to go to that showcase as that agent and be like, I'm already in SAG now. And yeah, that was crazy because I was like flown to a different state on my first job, like a day after school. It was ridiculous. Yeah.
That's that crazy. I've only been flown to a different state like twice in my whole career. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it was really wild. It was really wild. And my dad is from, my dad lives in the city in Austin where it was from, where it was filmed. So it was also bizarre. Cool to like go back there. And then like, I could like extend my trip. It was just really trippy. It was so crazy. But that
if
was
that's
my
not
first
a sign of like, hey, you should be doing this. I don't know what is.
I know. It was a trip. And then like the first like show on television that I got was Days of Our Lives.
You were on Days?
I've been on Days. So yeah, yes.
Wait,
yes,
why didn't I know this?
So I got like, I played like this skeezy drug dealer on my first episode of Days of Our Lives. Like I was selling drugs to one of those.
What year was this? Wait a second. What year was this?
This would have been 2005 or six. Something like that. Five or six. Yeah, I sold drugs in an episode by a boat or like by the dock. And then years later, about a year later, they had me come in and test. This wasn't gonna be the story I was gonna tell, but they had me come in and test for a series regular on the show. And went through a bunch of rounds. I ended up getting it, and then that day they ended up changing their mind.
Oh my God.
So I quit my job and then I ended up, so I ended up not getting the role. I was like at 10 in the morning, my agent called me. He's like, you got it. And then 3 p.m. that day, they were like, sorry, we lied. Somebody changed their mind. It was crazy. And so it was a 3 year contract thing. I walked out of my job, like middle finger in the air and everything like that.
You're like, and peace. Like,
yeah. I was like, bitter bitches. And then a few months later, 4 or 5 months later, the casting director felt like I must have felt really bad because of how terrible that was. And they offered me this role on Days for, I think I was in like six more episodes. And I played like this like bellhop in Salem.
That's amazing.
Funny little bellhop role. It paid at the time. This was before it was SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah, it was only AFTRA.
It was only after, so it paid for like my AFTRA and stuff like that. Cause I I didn't have any reasons to be an AFTRA really at the time. And so it like got me in that and got that done. So it was a weird story, but I played like this funny bellhop and you know.
So funny. Yeah, I remember I totally like I blanked out of my mind the fact that AFTRA used to be different because with Nickelodeon, Disney and soap operas, that was all AFTRA. So if you ever booked a job AFTRA on there, you were kind of screwed out of residuals for a bit, which sucked.
Yep. Yeah, totally.
Okay. So you did Days of Our Lives, which is just bizarre to me that I never knew this.
Yeah. Days of Our Lives. I did probably.
Everyone I know has been on Days then, basically. Yeah, exactly. That's my life. Everyone I know.
Yeah.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Okay, so then you did Days, you're working, you're auditioning, you're doing all this stuff. So what's your big one that got away story?
Oh my God. I mean, that one just sort of happened, what I was saying with Days, but like there's so many, and there's so many different ones where I've gotten close and or lost weight or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But definitely the one I always tell like students and like kind of the one that always sort of just comes to the forefront of the brain. Because you were like, you don't have to tell what it is. I don't give a shit. I'll totally tell what it is because this is exactly what happened.
I love it. Let it out. It's a therapy session.
For sure. So I went on my agent at the time was like, do you know sign language? And I said, no. And they were like, well, we have a client that's on our roster who's like a psychiatrist to deaf people. You could go to him and he could teach you the sides in sign language. And I was like, sure. Wow. Cool. Because he was like, it's a good role and it's a good opportunity mm-hmm. and stuff. And I was like, okay, sure. So I go to this guy's office down on like Wilshire and like right in Century City, like or right in the mid city area. And he has a beautiful office and I sit there for like an hour. I paid the guy like 30, 40 bucks or something like that. And
hey, he taught me something. That's a good deal.
No, totally. But it was like, he was also like, this is my agent. You know, it was like his agent as well. So he obviously didn't want to screw me too hard. So he was there for like an hour or something. And he taught me, I mean, at the end of the day, like I had these two big monologues, like big, big monologues that I had to learn and a couple other lines. So at the end of the day, I'm really learning like a hand dance, right? I'm not learning sign language. I'm learning moves for this. And
right,
so,
you're just memorizing the specific
stuff. Memorizing this specific
like
stuff. Exactly. I don't actually have to know it. You know, I just have to know the memorization of it. And it was one of those rare ones where I had like 5 days, you know, before it.
Whoa. You had five days before an audition? Excuse me?
It was like a weird 4 or 5 day thing. I knew I had a weekend. I remember that for sure. And every part of this is so clear. I remember I would go to, was it Paramount? And it was at those trailers on that Lemon Grove side of Paramount, that right where you check in. And I went into those trailers and I get in. There was like two or three guys in the little waiting area there. Girl comes out. She's kind of young. She brings me in eventually. and I do the scene for her. And she says, she literally, first thing she goes, you're not deaf? And I was like, no. And then she goes, I've only seen deaf people. And that was the best one. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's
oh my
gosh. Great. Like, what do we do
okay.
now? So like, what do we do now? And she goes, can you just do it again one more time? I just need it. So we do it again. I do it again. She goes, okay, hold on a second. And she leaves the room. And she brings this guy back in the room. And we sit and we talk and we meet and we converse. And she's the writer, director and stuff. And so then we start talking about football and we start casually talking. And I do the scene for him and he says the same thing. He's like, yes, that's exactly. Thank you.
Wait, so this is like the writer that they've brought in?
he was like in another room in this trailer. This
How
trailer
bizarre is like that too?
He's the writer and he's the director, and he's like going to come in. She went into the room to go get him. Was like, you need to see this person.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Super weird. So I do it for them and or him, and then he was like, yes, definitely, we're going to be in touch for sure. So he leaves the room. She then says to me, I'll never forget this. She goes, can you go outside and smoke a cigarette? And I was like, what? And then she's like, I need to smoke a cigarette. And I was like, in my brain, I was like, I don't smoke cigarettes. But I was like, totally, for sure, Hunter, I will smoke every cigarette.
I will do that right now.
I'll smoke all of these cigarettes that you have. And so we went out. There was dudes in the lobby still. And and I are sitting outside this trailer smoking cigarettes. And she is telling me, you're it. This is it. I'm so excited. She's just shooting me so hard on this stuff.
And oh my
I was
God.
Like, hey, what the hell is happening? So I leave. My agent calls me like that day or the next day. And he's like, yeah, this is happening. You did whatever you did was right on. So they start telling me that I'm going to like where I'm going to go and how much I'm going to make and like this whole thing.
All the beautiful like, things okay. that you love to hear where you're like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna my career's and finally going to pay off.
Yeah. And so then a couple of days later, I get a call from my agent and they're like, the Deaf Association is unhappy that a deaf actor is playing a deaf role and you're not going to get it. And the movie turned out to be There Will Be Blood.
Oh my God.
Yeah, crazy.
Oh, that hurts.
All I knew at the time was my sides, and I knew that I was to play Daniel Day-Lewis's son. And I thought, there's enough of a resemblance that I could see how that could have worked. And I knew I'd be playing a deaf person. And then that happened. And so then I never saw... Like then the movie, you know, then I moved on with my life, just like actors do. Like we just go back to work and we go back to acting and we go back to whatever. At that point, it was just a lost audition. It was like a year later, you know, then all of a sudden in the newspaper and like online, everything's like the greatest movie that's ever been made in the history of all movies.
Yeah. It's like movie? The only thing people are talking about.
And I was like, oh, this is that fucking movie. It's like, it's not like Daniel Day-Lewis is in a lot of movies. He's in like one time every blue moon. So, you know, it's that movie. And then I was like, I ended up not watching that movie for a really, really long time.
I don't blame you. There's certain things that I still can't watch because I'm still like too, not bitter, just like upset that I wasn't a part of, you know?
So I ended up watching it eventually. Someone's like, you really should watch it. And so I ended up watching it eventually and getting to like the scenes that my character would have been in and stuff. And it is one of those ones where you sit back and you go, you know, there's nothing to take away from the person that did it. Good job on them, whatever. It's just an unfortunate, it's one of those weird ones where you sit back and go, oh man, that one stung. That one stung. Yeah,
that one hurt. That left a definite mark.
That one stung good. And it was one of those weird stings because it hits you first and then you forget about it. And then it comes out and it's like amazing. And it wins like every Academy Award. And you're like, oh, that's exactly what I was hoping for. Thank you.
You're like, great. That's what I wanted in my life at this point. Weird to be an actor because that does happen where you have these amazing like experiences and then you get screwed and then a year later you deal with that emotion again and you're like, wait a second, I thought I was through this.
Yeah, totally. That part is I try to say that to students all the time about that. It's just exact that situation. Like I could give you many of these stories when you told me this and I was like, oh no, there's so many. Not just like, oh, you were close, but you lost for dumb reasons. You lost because they suddenly decided to make the whole cast black or something, like something you can't control, something that's way out of your scope. And so
they change producers. They decide that you look too much like the other person. It's just there's so much not in your control and you have to be chill about it.
And you have to realize that if you quit, those opportunities don't happen. And so that is it for me, is like you just have to be able to sit back and go, OK, but if I had stopped acting, I don't get this close again, or I don't get this job, or I don't get this next one, or I don't get this next one. And then weird ones do happen where all of a sudden you book them out of nowhere and you're like, what the hell happened? You
know what you're I mean? Like, excuse me, what now? You talking
that
to me?
That just happened so fast. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I had a weird experience when I was younger where it was like, I went in for an audition in the morning and then a call back 2 hours later. And then I was testing for the pilot by 4 p.m. And it was just the most bizarre thing. It was like whiplash, big time.
Yep. That the pilot I just did. I got the phone call that there was a Wednesday night at like 8:30. My agent's like, sorry, last second. It's coming in now. Are you available at 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow? I was like, for an audition? She was like, yeah. And she was like, yeah, but if you get it, it starts right away. And I was like, sure. Okay. So they sent aside and there's a decent amount. So not tons, but a decent amount. And then I went in and I got it. And I was in the room at like 9:30. And then I was on the lot at 11:15.
My Lord.
I had booked it and was starting working.
That is so quick. Holy crap.
It was the quick. I went home. As I was leaving the room, they were like, make sure your cell phone's near you. And I was like, okay. And so then they were like, and then like I got home. Right when I got home, my agent's like, you got to go back to the studio right now. And you have to start now. And then I started, when I got to the room, when I got to the soundstage, they were like, hi, yes, you're Adam, right? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, okay, so you're just going to go over here. This is going to be your room. We're going to probably get to your scene here in the next like 3 or 4 minutes. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God. What? That is so quick.
I was like, do I have other lines or scenes? Because all I have is this.
Do you have a script? What is happening?
I've only been given this. And she goes, no, you're just in that scene. That's great. That's all you need. And I was like, okay. And then it was like, then the next week of your life, you're there every day. And it was like, just so fast. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's absolutely, mm-hmm. That's so bizarre that it's just, happened that quickly. Wow.
Quickest ever.
Okay. Well, that was quite the story.
I know.
Gosh, Daniel Day-Lewis.
I could build one.
Oof. Just
I thought Paul Thomas Anderson was the guy they brought in the room.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think about that. Holy crap.
I didn't know. Like I didn't, cause they didn't tell me any of that stuff. And it was like, hey, this is Paul. And I was like, yeah, Paul. Like, I was just like, right, I didn't know.
Oh, hi, Paul.
Well, it was also like, you got to think like when this happened, like it's weird to say this because I am a little bit older, but when this did happen, we've been acting in LA for about the same time, but like I'm just older than you, but like the we didn't have the ability to just look up anything all the time at any moment, right?
Right.
I'm not even sure like my phone did much more than make a phone call at that point.
Mm-hmm.
When this
it probably played Snake, so that was a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. It did, you know, I mean, I certainly wasn't able, I certainly didn't have IMDb app.
No. I mean? No, so, you could have just like looked shit up really quick.
No, and like there wasn't a thing. So it was like, I just was like, oh, this is Paul. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, sure, this is the director. Like, there wasn't, when you get a sides now or you get an audition, like, there's so much information on those pages that you can like you can snoop on everybody.
Well, right. You know everything by the time you go into that room. You know, the freaking director's mother's middle name, like it's crazy.
Right, exactly.
Wow. Well, that is that's bizarre. I can't believe you met Paul Thomas Anderson and even know as Paul Thomas Anderson, but I probably wouldn't either because, to be honest, I don't think I even know what he looks like.
Exactly.
Unless I'm sitting there like looking up directors. Yeah, you're not gonna like memorize directors' faces unless you know you do that. Mm-hmm. Which, if you do, mm-hmm. good for you.
Yeah, some people do, but I just didn't.
Hey,
I don't.
Go for it, man. But you're also, okay, so let's go to the present now. So you just did that pilot, which is super exciting. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you guys will be able to get back to work soon.
I hope so.
But you're also, and this is something that I've loved about knowing you, is that you're the artistic director for Loft Ensemble. Mm-hmm. And that's cool as hell. And you guys just mm-hmm. announced a new play. What is that?
So... well, it's a mix of things actually. So we you know, Loft is obviously closed, like a lot of things. So we have had to reconfigure a lot of things about how we are going to be doing things when things come back. But also being a teacher myself at a college, I teach at the college I went to. They were just about to graduate, and every year they do these graduation plays, and you get, you know, as a director, you get pinned with a group of actors or actresses, and you do the play. And they do a full production with light, sound, set, and everything like that. And unfortunately, this has happened right when this really exciting time that they're supposed to do this. They were all supposed to be like almost, we'd probably be almost done with all of the plays, and they would be graduating like a week and a half from now.
Oh, so sad.
It's very sad. And they graduated the Dolby. Like, it's a thing, right?
Oh,
it's a big old deal. It's a thing where the Oscars are and everything like that. It's really sad. And so, so every play has just kind of been put on hold, and we're just sort of waiting to figure out what the deal is can be. And so I, with my assistant director and friend who's also kind of helped me a lot over the last year or two, we've worked together a lot with a lot of things. I had this idea when my daughter was born about a play. When my daughter was born, I was just so blown away by nurses. Not that I shouldn't have been before, but I just don't spend a lot of time in hospitals. So when my daughter was born at the maternity ward, it just was this incredible, incredible place. And it was, the women were so amazing. And so I was sitting there at this nurse's station. I was like, this looks like a set. And so then I just went into like full director brain and started asking an actor brain, every nurse that came by me a question about anything. And I was just so like overwhelmed with how beautiful and amazing these women were and their story and how, and I think having a daughter, but I've done a lot of shows in the last couple of years that have been really like about women in general and just really wanting to make sure that, not only just like paying respect, because that's not really what the point of it is. It's not about paying respect. That respect should be there. But it's telling these stories and not telling them from a guy's perspective, but just telling these stories and just being really moved by the power of women. My mom and my wife and my daughter and a bunch of yourself, women that I just look up to, I think are just very powerful people. And so the story is called Code Pink, and a code pink is when a baby is stolen from a hospital. That's real thing.
No.
It's a real thing. Yeah. And it's a crazy thing that it has a code and like, it's a thing that goes across. And I just find the phrasing code
does
pink
it
so
happen
adorable.
Often?
That's the first question I had was like, does this happen a lot? And they were like, one lady's like, I've been here for 15 years, it's never happened. But they put this monitor on your baby when they're born, that if they get even close to an elevator, the whole code pink happens. And there's like 15 different codes that a hospital has. Code black, right. Code purple, code everything means a different thing. But code pink also happens to mean that. So I wrote this play about these women that centers around that concept, mm-hmm. around the idea of this eventually happening, but it's really about the women and about like these amazing heroic people that put on these brave faces that might also have a bunch of other things going on in their life 100%. That you don't see. And so it's not just about the nurses, it is about women in general. So it's about the people that are giving birth, it's about the volunteers, mm-hmm. it's about the doctor, but all of them are women. So there's 13 women in this play. The girls that are all cast, we were originally given a completely different play. And with this whole thing that's happened in the world, I just said, what an opportunity for us to try to engage creatively and mm-hmm. scrap the play we were going to do, because that isn't going to work very well in this setting. And let's look at like writing together and working together. And they get to kind of create these characters that we wrote for them. So they're all right for them too. They're not playing like no 20-year-old girl is playing an 80-year-old or anything out of there. Everyone's playing their types. Everyone's playing that stuff. And it's a really beautiful story. So I'm really excited because we'll do this as like a graduation play, whenever that can happen. And then when that is done, we will then take it to Loft and do it there as well. So all these girls get to not just do this one time performance, but in whatever capacity that means, whether it is ends up being online or it ends up being, for no audience at school, at some point, I have certainly made the promise to them that they will be able to do this play, for audiences for many, many weeks, which is really exciting.
That's so cool. I love that you've taken this awful time and have put your energy towards something that's like highlighting the people who are actually on the front lines. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, someone asked about that. Like they were like, is it about the coronavirus? And I was like, I didn't really want it to be about that. To be honest, I think we have enough of that. And that wasn't what inspired the idea in the first place. What inspired the idea in the first place was just that these women that do these amazing things. And we have now been, as a whole society, been reminded of that.
Yeah, like, it's true.
You know, we've been reminded of these people that are going to work every day and doing this insanity. That's just got to be the most insane thing ever. And the thing about the maternity ward, which is so fascinating about a hospital when I was there, was it is the only place that consistently is bringing positive. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course it has negatives, but it's not a situation, you know, people are happy to go to the maternity ward. The people that work there are happy to work there. A lot of the nurses talk about that exact thing, how they, you know, they're like, once I got moved to maternity, I'll never give this place up. They're like, I don't want to work anywhere else, because they're like, there's so much positive there. People are choosing to have a baby. You know what I mean? People are making a choice to be there and come do this. Obviously there's terrible things that happen, but it's not the same thing of like the cancer ward or something like that. You know what I mean?
I love that. I think that's so sweet and so special.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I'm really, really, really excited about it. My the girl that I wrote the play with, her name is Jana Hamblin, another actress and director who's just great. And so we're working together, which is really cool. It's a really personal piece. It has personal stories. It has personal things from when we were there, things when she was there, stories from the nurses that were there when we did it. You know, my whole goal, hopefully, would be able to go back at some point to those nurses that at the hospital that we were at and let them know that, you know, when I was there, I told them this, but they meet so many people. I was like, I promise you, I'm going to write a play about you guys one day. And, you know, to be able to go back and be able to tell them and be like, yo, there is a play and you can all come see it now. You know, I think that's really cool.
That's so cool. And I think what you should also do is take your now amazing florist skills and
bring them.
Bring them a bouquet.
Put it all to work.
And say, come to this play. That is really awesome. Ticket. Oh, my gosh. You could attach the tickets to each flower and give it to them. Oh, my gosh.
Now we're talking.
I'll help you.
I did want to make sure that, because like whatever ends up happening, I do kind of believe that it's sort of which is exciting that I do believe this is just sort of the beginning stages of this play, because I think it's what we've created as a story is very universal and can kind of be done timelessly and sort of anywhere. As long as you just have 13 actresses, you can do this play. And it's sort of an agreement.
13 actresses everywhere.
100%. And that's a big part of it was like teaching at a college, just finding the discrepancy between how many more female actresses there were than males by a significant margin. And they were just always running out of plays to be able to do for the girls. And I was like, well, then let's make them a play. That's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, let's make them a play that's great, that they can sort of timelessly engage in. And each one of them gets these beautiful big monologues where they just get to like kind of open up and get to really kick ass too. So it's like no part's smaller, you know what I mean? It's really sort of equal, which is also very exciting. And I just think it's the beginning. And I sort of made a deal with all the girls and Jana in the beginning that was like, whenever any of you wanted to do this, if you wanted to do this and go back to wherever you're from and do this play, you're free to do it. I'm not going to expect any money from it. I only just require that you tell nurses and doctors that they can come see this play for free. That's the only thing I say that you have to be able to do. And so I just want to be able to make this thing. So it's called Code Pink, and it's something really special. I think it could be something really cool.
That's so awesome. Congrats. Yeah. That's like, it's really cool to see something like that right now happening. And just, I love that people are actually using their creative juices and like keeping that side of you sane, because I know it's very hard when we're all locked in our houses to try and keep that creative being.
I'll tell you, it really is. I mean, I had such a whirlwind teaching like this for a while, and it was like a big part of what kind of inspired it going. I had the idea, but it was teaching online for a couple of months here now and seeing what they really needed and what was working and what was effective. And you know, besides just structure and doing, like you said, like even doing something like what you're doing right now with this podcast and being able to, like you said, like put pants on and clean my room.
like make myself look like I'm gonna go on audition or something and like sit at my desk.
Right, because it's now it's something. Not just for now we've been on for 40-45 minutes or whatever. It's not just that, it's the time before. My wife goes, Adam, you're literally 30 minutes early to your meeting. I was like, I know.
That's very just, typical. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, you're so early. I was like, well, I'm always early, but now she's like,
but it's also just early. Like having something to look forward to is amazing. Yeah. Right now.
It is, and it gives people something to feel good about in such a strange moment.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's always nice to speak with you. You know, I love you guys.
I just love this. Thank you.
So, where can everybody find you on the whole social media?
Web so space. if you go to Adam_Chambers7, just the number 7, and that's at Instagram, Adam_Chambers7, and the show with Adam and Sean, of course, you can type that into anything, the show with Adam and Sean. Those are all the good things. If you go on the Instagram, I just recently posted a picture of the Code Pink thing, the image and stuff. And if you post it and tag me, I will absolutely. I've been retagging everybody, so and redoing everything because I think it's cool to just see people like being excited about the project. So
yay!
So thank you.
Of course, thank you so much for coming on.
Of course.
I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Adam.
Bye.
That was super fun. Thank you so much, Adam, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. I cannot wait to see Code Pink. I think that's going to be dope. When that finally opens, we should get a group of people together to go see it. So tweet me if you live in LA and we'll plan it. We'll get a bunch of people together. Thanks again for listening and tune in next week. I'll have Michael Campion on the show from Fuller House, and he has a pretty wild story that I can't wait to share with you. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration. I'll give myself a pat on the back for that, as well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.